Amen. And certainly we are grateful for the Deltas coming out today and sharing with us. Thank you so much for the gracious gift that you've given. And I pray that the Lord will continue to bless this heroic organization and the things that you do and the plans that you have for the future. Sometimes you forget the social distancing thing, so make sure you wash your hands, Francis. Amen. But as we look at where we are in our world today, I want to invite your attention to a verse of scripture. We recognize that there are those in the parking lot, and certainly we are mindful of our time frame, and we want to make sure that we accommodate them as well. But I want to invite your attention again to a passage that we found in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 on last week. We began that study and we looked at some of the things that Uzziah, a great king, a wonderful man, yet he made some very costly and some decisions that not only were costly, but it impacted the nation of Israel. And last week we shared with you in the sacred place, and this week we want to share another topic as we look at what happened and what can we do? What can we do to transform our country and to be able to not only transform our country, but to look at our lives and to ask, Lord, what would you have us to do and how would you have us to go forward? There are a couple of verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 that we want to read today that I think impacts us. Beginning with verse number 18 in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Thank God for the reading of his word. You may be seated. I want to share with you the thought today, angry people, merciful God. Angry people, merciful God. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful privilege of worshiping. And today as we welcome the Deltas, we thank you for the cause of which they were formed. We ask that you'd bless them. Bless us all as we hear your word today and giving heed to the truth, that the truth indeed would make us free. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your precious promises. Bless us now in our time together that it may indeed be time well spent. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. There's no doubt that we have many who are angry, upset. And as we look at the root cause, last week we looked at several things that's causing people to have the mindset of where they are and what they are doing. And we summarized it basically as three things. The first thing that's on the agenda of everyone is that everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be right. And even though everybody wants to be right, you cannot have a democracy where everybody is not only wanting to be right, but trying to prove that they're right, even if they are wrong. Not listening to scientific evidence, not listening to research, certainly not being educated by the fact that you don't always know everything. But everybody wants to be right. They want to make sure that their rightness is out there. I've always taught you can't learn without an open mind. You've got to have an open mind. So with this, globally, we see people, they're putting information out there as if theirs is the only way. And this is causing conflict. But not only is it a thing of where everybody wants to be right, we find that people demand to be heard. It used to be a time, well, that's your opinion. Now, opinion, it appears to be becoming law, at least with many. So you have those who, if they can't get their way, if they can't say, well, I'll be right, then let me use a little force behind it. And we referenced, as we saw on television and through social media and other places, where on January the 6th, our nation's capital was invaded by thugs. Lord knows what would have happened if that had been people of color. You know, and now the FBI is saying, well, you know, we need to round these people up. If that had been people of color, they would have got rounded up that day, if not slaughtered. But be that as it is, there were people there who said to themselves, we are right. We are right. And not only were they saying, we are right, they're saying, we demand to be heard. We demand to be heard. And while many did not participate in that, sadly, there are people that have that mindset even in the church. You can't have a church where everybody thinks that they're right. And it's like this, there's none right but God. All of us are struggling, amen? But I don't want to keep pointing to the problems, because we know what the problems are. We know that people, they have the need to be right and the demand to be heard, and they also will use anger to justify their actions. They'll get angry. And so what they do is they go out and they do violent things because they're angry. You ask people, why did you do that? I was upset. Wait a minute. How did upset justify what you did? You've got to be careful with that. I made a note that the toxicity of pride and anger destroys the very container that holds them. If you put pride and anger together, it's going to destroy you. Humility, open-mindedness, love toward one another is the way that we should go. These forces are not only in place in our nation, but they're in our world, where people want to be right, demand to be heard, and they want to justify their actions with anger. It's global. And then we have a question. If we have so many angry people, how do we go about trying to get this thing right? How do we get things back on track? I want to give you several things, and certainly I'm not going to be exhaustive in this list, but I want to give you several things that will help you and help me to make sure that we're on the right way. I want to say to you, first of all, if you are angry, immediately go to God and tell him, Lord, I'm angry. Do we have a right to be angry? Yes, in many cases we do. And the Bible even says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't cross that line of where now you're justifying your actions because you're upset. There's a verse in the Old Testament book of Psalms that asks this question. Psalms 11 and I believe verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Very good question. If the foundation, if what we're all about, if that's destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we go back to the person of Uzziah. Somewhere in his life, his reactions and his way of dealing with things got off track. We might call that the foundations. Did he have good foundations? Yes. There was a priest by the name of Zechariah that helped him, that groomed him, that taught him. Did he take it to heart? No. Because we see his actions didn't justify it. He didn't stay with what he was taught. Young people, if there's a lesson that I would teach you today, it is this. If you've been taught from a child to trust in God, don't ever, ever go aside from that. Don't ever question that. You may not understand God. There are times when you're going to say, Lord, I don't know what is going on. But remember that God is God and you are human. You are human. He will reveal it in time. He will show you in time. But God doesn't have, he doesn't need your approval to be God. Amen? Uzziah got to the place where he just didn't listen. He had a lot of things that he did, and everything it seems that he did, it prospered. He had many projects that he worked on, and it prospered. And sometimes prosperity can go to your mind. People say, is anything wrong with being or having money? No, nothing wrong with having money. It's wrong when money has you. God wants us to be prosperous, but he doesn't want us to get to the place where now we're not recognizing what is right. Somewhere in his teachings, Uzziah had been taught, you are a king, you're over the land, but that doesn't mean you're in control. He had been taught by Zechariah, there are places that you go in the temple, and there are places that you don't go. He had been taught that because the priest, they knew their position. Here's the point I want to make. Whenever you stop learning, you start dying intellectually. Whenever you stop learning, you start dying intellectually. You get to the place where your mind becomes dull and whatever you feel is right. Let's look at Uzziah for just a minute. On that morning, he got up. God gave him the strength to get up. God's mercy shined upon him. God did not cause him to die that night. He got up that morning. God's mercy was upon him. But he had something on his mind. I'm going into that temple, and I'm going to offer those sacrifices of incense, and nobody's going to stop me. He marched his way down to the temple. He went in as usual through the gate that kings were allowed to go through. He went into what was known as the holy place. But before he got there, the high priest, Azariah, along with 80 other priests, said, oh, no, brother, you're not coming in here. This is a sacred place. This is the place that God has established, and a place where only the priests are to come and offer incense. So I tell you the first principle, if you and I are going to receive God's mercy, if you're going to have God's mercy for your life, if I need God's mercy for my life, I must have accountability. I must have accountability. No one, absolutely no one is above the law. No one is above God's law. You have to submit yourself to that law. And so Azariah and the 80 other priests, they withstood him. What were they doing? Were they trying to embarrass him? Were they trying to destroy him? No, they were trying to help him. People look at accountability. Well, you can't tell me what I need to do. This is my life. I'm grown. Yeah, you are grown, but you could fall flat on your face. If a train is coming, I want someone to tell me because I don't always wear my hearing aids and I can't always hear. If a train is coming, I want someone to tell me a train is coming. And if I get too close, I want them to pull me aside. That's accountability. In our world today, everybody thinks they're right and they don't want anyone to say, no, you're wrong. Accountability is a wonderful thing. Because we could continue down that wrong path. How many of you all have been down a wrong path? And weren't you glad when somebody told you, hey, you're going the wrong way? I remember as in one of the jobs I've had more jobs than cars. So one of the jobs I had, I was HR director. And there was this lady that She's had a tremendous temper. Her anger was terrible. She would lay people out and for no reason. And she came into my office and I said, "We're going to have to fire you." And I'm going to use the name Susie. "So we're going to have to fire you because you just get upset and you blow off at everybody." And she said, "Please, if you take away my job, I don't have anything. I tell you what, Susie, if you will take this anger management course, we will continue to keep you employed. But you got to bring me the certificate back, and we're going to put you on probation so that until this period of time is over, you can't blow up at everybody. And you know what Susie did? She opened her mind. She wanted to learn. And I met her some time ago, and she said, "You know what? I've retired from that job. I was there for 18 years because I took what you said to heart." Accountability is a wonderful thing. If you don't have it, you'll continue down the wrong path and you'll think that you're right. So what is the second thing that we need? Here we get into the display of God's mercy. God shows his wonderful mercy to us in ways that are beyond our own understanding. Not only does he give us people and send people to hold us accountable, but God also shows mercy by revealing his presence. Uzziah didn't realize it that day. When he walked into the temple, he saw the 80 priests, but he did not see God. But let me tell you something, God was there. God is not only an omniscient God, knowing everything. He's an omnipresent God. When you don't see him, when you can't feel him, that doesn't mean that he's not there. The Bible tells us that as Uzziah got angry, as he was upset at the priest and looking at them, it tells us that the priest looked on and immediately there was a leprosy that broke out in his forehead. We continue to read and it says that Azariah and the chief priests and all the priests looked on him, and behold, the leprosy was in his forehead, and they thrust him out. And yes, he even hasted to go out himself. Why? Because the Lord had smitten him. Look at that last part. It says the Lord had smitten him. Here's where I want to tell you about the mercy of God. Sometime God will knock you down, not to kill you, but to correct you. And I'd much rather God would knock me down, put me in a place where I need to be until I can acknowledge that he is God. He did that with a pagan king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was the greatest of all. And as he walked around in his kingdom and boasting about what he had done, God smote him. Now, God could have killed him. But instead, God knocked him down, took away his mind for 7 years so that his fingernails grew long like claws, and he ate grass like an ox. Sometimes God has to knock us down in our pride. But I'd much rather that God knock me down, but not knock me out. Oh, y'all ain't gonna pray with me today. You see, God could have. With Uzziah and with Nebuchadnezzar, God could have smitten them and immediately taken away their life. Do you not know that your next breath is owed to the mercy of God? Amen. Your next heartbeat, God has already ordained it. The reason why you and I can live and breathe and have our being is because of the mercy of God. God could have killed Uzziah that day. I remember in another passage of scripture, there was a priest given the responsibility of transporting the ark of God. And rather than doing it the right way, they were doing it the easy way. So as they had the ark riding it into the temple or riding it into the place where they were going to position the ark, and they took the ark and the oxen began to stumble, and Uzzah reached out to steady the ark. You say, that's simple. That's just a reaction. But immediately, God struck him and he died. What is it that have you and me alive right now? The mercy of God. How can we sit here and worship today? The mercy of God. What is it that gives us strength from day to day, the mercy of God? What is it that keeps you in your right mind in this COVID environment, even though you got to wear a mask and all this other kind of crazy stuff that people say you don't wear a mask? What is it that keeps us together? God's mercy. Mercy, let me put it another way, grace woke me up this morning. Grace started me on our way. Grace is what we need, and His grace is sufficient to meet every need. We thank God for grace. There are going to be times in your life where God will do things to keep you in check. God will say, well, why is God doing this? Just let Him have His way. Just begin to thank Him and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Look at what happened to Job. Job was an innocent man. He didn't know why, but God wanted him to walk through because Job had never been tried. He'd never been tested. But I tell you what, he held on. And what you need to do today is hold on. Look at somebody. Don't touch them now. We COVID. Don't touch them. Don't touch nobody. Don't touch me. Yeah. But tell them God's mercy is with me today. Thank God for His mercy. This brings us to our last point. Our last point. And I believe the Delta shared something today. How are you going to help someone? How are you going to reach out for the cause that you believe in and for the thing that inspires you? It's one thing to celebrate those who have done, but what are you going to do? And this last one has to do with the fact that Isaiah, one of the people that loved God and one of the priests that attended and probably was participating in repelling Uzziah from the temple, he was probably among them. Because he writes in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, you might look at that and you say, what does that have to do with God's mercy? God's mercy was getting ready to move in a different way. There are times when God will bring about chastisement, correction. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about the Scripture and how that the Scripture is not only for inspiration. 2 Timothy 3 and I believe verse 15 said it's also for correction in righteousness. It's to correct us. If you're God's child, He's going to correct you. I can't tell you too many times that as a child growing up in the home of Betty and James, that we got whippings. We didn't get spankings. No. We got old school. We got old school stuff. Amen. Brother Walthall, we got whippings. And you know what the whippings did? It kept us out of prison. It kept us out of jail. And not that we were that good, but sometimes they had to take us out to the woodshed so that we would learn not to do certain stuff. Are y'all here? But thank God for the grace of the Lord. Amen. Here's the point that I want to make. While Isaiah was in the temple and he saw the Lord, he looked at himself and he says, woe is me. I am undone. In other words, I'm a mess. How in the world can my life account for anything with me being a mess? And if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll read that during that conversation, God looked at Isaiah, who had proclaimed, I'm an undone man, I have unclean lips. And the Lord sent an angel and touched the lips of Isaiah and took away his iniquity. Here's the point. God comes into your life showing mercy, forgiving your sin, cleansing you so that he might use you as a witness to help someone else. Are y'all still here? We think all I want God to do is to save me and get me ready for heaven. No, God wants to get you ready for service. You need to be involved in helping people. It may be just a simple thing of taking someone to the doctor's office or helping them, calling someone on the phone and encouraging them. If we as a nation of angry people would stop being angry and start saying, you know what, I'm blessed. I'm incredibly blessed by God Almighty. Let me turn around and use this blessing to help someone else. If we would do that, I'm here to tell you that this is one of the most blessed nations on the face of this planet. I didn't say best, I said blessed. Are y'all still here? We've been blessed because of the mighty hand of God, but if we take for granted these blessings, we'll lose every one of them. You and I can do something about this. We can start holding each other accountable. We can do that right now. If you see your brother or sister going in a wrong direction, go to them. Don't try to embarrass them. Just go to them and say, hey, that don't do that. There's a better way. We can also begin to recognize God's presence in our lives. You don't have to pat yourself on the back. You do have to lift your hands up and say, Lord, thank you for doing these amazing things. But then lastly, Isaiah, when the Lord made a cry and said, who will go for us? Now, please understand me. God doesn't need any of us. And Isaiah had just said, I'm unqualified. I can't do it. But God touched him. And now that God touched him and God said, who will go for us? Isaiah, that one who had seen Uzziah, a good king, he'd seen him go up and he'd seen him come down. That man who said to himself, I am not worthy, I'm undone. That man said, Lord, here am I. Send me. What I'm going to ask you to do today, those of you in the parking lot, online, and in this sanctuary here, we can make a difference in the entire world by doing one thing, saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me to someone that's in need. Send me to someone that needs your mercy. Send me to someone that needs encouragement. There's a whole lot of folk ready to put folk down. But how many people do we have that will lift other people up? How many do we have that will be dedicated and say, I'll do my best and I'll give God my service? There are people that need you. There are angry people who are confused. A lot of angry young people. Some of us old folk can tell them, Sonny Buck, little girl, let me just tell y'all, yes, we've been through a lot, but you got to have patience. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You can be an instrument of God's mercy. You can join the rest of the crowd and get angry. Protest, get mad. Now, I'm not saying people don't need to protest. I'm not saying that. Or you can join the crowd of folk that said, God is good. And we will worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise be to his holy name. Choose today whether you'll be angry or whether you'll be an instrument of God's mercy. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for laying it upon our heart, God, that we want to concentrate on what is right. We, like Isaiah, are now at a place where things have died in our nation. People have died in our lives, and we grieve over that. But our eyes are upon you. How will you speak to us? How will you reveal to us the things that need to be done? Will you use us to hold people accountable? Will you use us to reveal your presence to others? Or will you just simply send us out as witnesses of what you have done? In any way that you choose to use us, Lord, we ask that you would. Bless us with thy presence. Bless us with your love today, which we know that you will never fail us, because you promised that you would never leave us. And for that one that may be listening today who's never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about making a statement of faith. I'm talking about surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you do it now. He's a mighty good Savior. He loves you dearly, more than you'll ever know. And what you need to do is to come into that relationship with him. Embrace his truth and follow it for the rest of your life. If you'll do that, I guarantee you that you'll have joy and peace the entire life. Bless us now, Father. Thank you for this time together. bless your people in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen. Well, we've come to the close of this service, and you all have put up with me for about a half hour talking. But I pray that you go out today, read this passage of Scripture. Read about the people in the Bible. Find out how God dealt with them, and then ask the Lord, how will you use me in my life? May God bless you. We ask that you, as you way out, you would remember in giving. For those of you that are in the parking lot and online, we have means for you to provide that. And you can join or go to our website, crossroadbc.com. But isn't God great? Amen. 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 Let's all stand as we celebrate and just give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm going to ask Reverend Gibbons to come and dismiss us in prayer.
It's great to know that the Lord is good. And when we know that personally, we know that God can do great things in our lives. Amen. Amen. Father God, we are so thankful for your word. For your word is quick and powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword. So, Father, as we depart from here, may we always be in thy presence. May our bodies and minds be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in your word, Father. We thank you for what you've done, for the words that we heard today. May you speak to our hearts. May you guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. And we'll always be careful to give you the glory and praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.
Give me a heart that knows no ill. Give me grace to do.